It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
There we go. We're on. It's Insight with Jack Stogler.
Oh, we're on.
Yes, the intro stopped.
Oh, it did? Well, yeah. That's a good time to start talking.
Yes, that's what I did.
Thank you. Say, it's Insight. Jack Stogler on this gorgeous Wednesday evening.
Welcome back. You haven't been here for 3 months.
It does seem like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Went to Disney. That was cool. It was fun.
Did you like it, or did you just have fun watching your grandkids?
I had fun watching the grandkids.
Yep.
I mean, but...
What was the crowds like? Was it tame compared to what it normally is?
You know what? It was busy. And now, you know, they say they're at, what, 40% or 50% capacity? And several of the parks would hit that by 10:30 or 11 o'clock in the morning. So there were people getting turned away at noon that had tickets.
Ooh.
You know, and so... But, you know, some of the lines were long, but they moved fast because they kept people, you know, kind of spread out and stuff.
Yeah.
So, again, it's like any place where if you go to ride the big rides, you were going to have to wait on them, you know, but, you know, most lines wasn't bad at all. We have in studio Mr. Steve Stone, who's a regular on, you know, Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings with, yes, Neil.
Yes.
A walk through the garden.
Yep. Walk. But you're also one of my favorite guests on here because I know I'm not going to have to talk much. You know, I just...
What are you trying to say? Started. I talk a lot? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what we want.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You run with it. So, yeah. And then we're going to have a Stump the Rocker contest here at about quarter till or so. So we have a lot planned. So let's start with the Stone family. Okay. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing good.
You have a couple of daughters that recently graduated college?
Well, Corey graduated from college and she's working for Kentucky, the University Hospital in Kentucky. And she's living in Lexington and she's doing really, really well.
That's awesome.
Carly is currently attending Ohio State, and she'll graduate next fall. And she's doing well, doing fine. She's helping at the nursery this last couple, 3 or 4 months. She's been real busy. We've got her taking classes, and it's, you know, partially online stuff. Yeah. And so she's been helping, working, and doing her class thing, and so she's been I'm sure busier than she'd like.
Yeah, bet.
And I, you know, dealing with what she's going through, I am so disappointed with, you know, what the poor
yeah,
college kids, their college experience has been absolutely atrocious.
Yeah,
compared to mine and everybody else's that I know, she is. Yeah. Had to deal with some of the most ridiculous things, and I really feel like, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But she was cheated out of, you know, again, I'll tell anybody and all my kids, you know, my 4 years in Columbus was a blast. I mean, we just had fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Well, and, you know, I mean, that's part of the reason you chose that school, you know, I mean, for the college experience.
Yeah, and with the online classes and the masks and the... I don't know. Yeah. Disappointing.
And, you know, you look at no fans in the football game.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, it just changes that experience. Now, you, hopefully, by the time... Okay, so she's a junior, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, she still has an opportunity, you to enjoy her senior year next year.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
And then Cade's been helping at the nursery, and he's been he's a smart enough kid. He said, I don't think I can do the online stuff. He said, I just don't think I'm going to do well, you know. And so he's just been working, and he's doing fine. So.
That ain't all bad, yeah.
Yep.
Does he know what he's planning to do? What he's going to take if he does decide to go to college?
That's one of the reasons he kind of opted out this year was between the COVID thing and not really having a good feel for what he wants to study and the direction he wants to go. He's just working.
Then it's perfect to just work and then go when you're ready to go.
Yep.
If ever.
Yep, absolutely.
May not be.
Would have been a hell of a time to start your college career. You know, I mean, plus, you know, it's not like they're reducing the cost 50%, you know?
Don't get me started. Yeah, okay. Carly's experience has been horrible, and then there really isn't any reduction in your...
Yeah.
And most of her stuff is online, and so they're... I don't know. That could be a whole nother topic for a whole nother show, possibly.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back and talk about... all things landscaping, lawns, trees, shrubs, flowers, you name it. I'm just going to let you run with it.
All right. That sounds perfect.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 11th at the Fire Hall. That's right, they'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. The tickets are pre-sale only, and the dinners are only $8 each and are available from any of the firemen. And be sure to grab a couple of extra dinners for a quick lunch during the week. Get your tickets now, then stop down on Sunday afternoon, April 11th, from 4 to 6 and pick up your chicken dinners. Just drive through the alley on the north side of the fire hall, and they'll bring them to you. The Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners, Sunday, April 11th, from 4 to 6. Get your tickets now from any Fort Recovery firefighter. Here are the softball and baseball games coming up this weekend. Tomorrow, the Indians play baseball at Delphus St. John's, and Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the game live. Friday, they'll play Houston at Day Air Ballpark, the home of the Dayton Dragons, with the first pitch at 4:30. Fort Recovery Radio will be broadcasting that game live, but we want lots of fans in attendance. Tickets are only $6 each and must be purchased online. The link can be found on the Fort Recovery Athletics Facebook and Twitter pages, and Fort Recovery gets all the proceeds from the tickets sold. Also on Friday, the Lady Indians will play at Fort Laramie. On Saturday, the Lady Indians will host Franklin Monroe in a doubleheader starting at 11 a.m. Get out to the ballpark on this nice weekend and help cheer on our Indians teams. We'll bring you all the baseball games live again this year right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. And I'm ready this time, Neil.
That's good.
That's good.
He's got you. You've got him trained well.
No, not even close. No, most of the time. Say, why are you pointing at me?
What's that for? So Steve, I tell you what. This is one of my favorite times of the year when things are changing, growing, and you're getting color back in your life to a certain extent. You know, the grass is green, trees are blooming. But it's also probably the start of a really busy season for you. Does it look like it's going to be?
Yeah, it absolutely, you know, looks busy last season, even with the COVID concerns and issues and shutdowns. We stayed busy, and all my guys stayed healthy, and we don't have enough of the good guys, but we have a lot of good guys.
Yeah.
And they all, you know, were troopers, and I had no, you know, considering all the horror stories that were out there from last season, I'm sitting here and have zero complaints. We made it through fine.
But you're needing people this year?
Oh, we're always looking for people. We seem like...
So if somebody weren't busy looking for a job, wants to work?
Yeah, busy time of year. We have a lot of things going on. We're always looking for good people. We're, you know, kind of growing and expanding in a couple different areas, and we just always are looking for good people.
Yeah. So at this time of year, you know, what should people be looking at first?
The first thing I think that you really need to look at, basically, is just kind of get outside, see, you know, what things look like. We had, with the exception of, you know, whatever that was, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in February, we really had kind of a mild winter. Yeah. I mean, the temperatures were lousy through that period, and then also there was, you know, pretty significant snow cover, which actually is good for plants because it kind of insulates some of that really cold weather out and away from the roots. But I did notice, like at home, you know, I've got a few rabbits here and there, and they, when there's snow cover on the ground like there was, they're going to be trying to find things to eat. So they went through a few of my landscape plants and did some pretty severe trimming on them. Burning bushes are really, really popular. They love burning bushes. Anything in the Malus family, which would be crab apple, fruit apples, anything, they'll just shred the bark. They actually eat the bark off the trees. And in that instance, on trees, specifically smaller trees, I mean, I'm talking smaller trees, not big mature trees that have the big chunky bark on them, but the small trees that have the really thin bark, they'll strip those to the point where they'll girdle them and they'll die.
No kidding. Rabbits will do that?
Yep. Burning bushes are the same way. They'll nibble the branches down, and they'll eat some of the ends of the branches, but mostly they'll just start peeling the bark. They'll take their teeth and they just peel the bark off of the bottoms of those branches, and they'll, again, you know, if they don't kill them, they're going to significantly damage them. So kind of looking for stuff like that and doing, you know, some pruning and selective pruning and trimming. Right now we've had enough warm days that there's lots of weeds popping up in your lawn and in your landscape beds. Always get some questions in regards to, well, I've got all these weeds in my landscape bed. I put Preen on and I still got lots of weeds. You know, why didn't it work? And it's like, well, because Preen is actually a pre-emergent. So you can, it's a good idea to put it in your beds, and it's going to be helpful in controlling weeds. But when you're dealing with a perennial weed, which would be a dandelion, thistle, clover, plantain, anything like that, that you might see that's green and lush and growing right now that you don't want, Preen is not going to have any effect on that at all.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Because it's already there.
It's already there. It's a perennial. It's already got a root system. It's already got vegetative leaves. It's already growing. If you put Preen down, Preen is going to inhibit germination. So if you have weed seeds that are there, and you certainly are going to have weed seeds there, it will inhibit those from germinating. They just simply, when they try to germinate, there's the herbicide there just inhibits or stops them from actually developing into a plant. So again, it will keep seeds from germinating, but it doesn't control perennial weeds. And it's not too early, you know, to consider again, you know, just spot treating, especially in your landscape beds with, you know, Roundup or 2,4-D or some kind of a, you know, non-selective herbicide that will kill broadleaf weeds. When you're dealing with Roundup and 2,4-D, as far as that goes, or Trimac, any of those products, you just have to be careful. Do it on a calm day.
Yeah.
Don't, if you're spraying, adjust your tip of your nozzle to have big droplets of water or product. If you adjust that nozzle down and it's really fine, you'll get drift and you'll get things. You won't think you got drift, but if it's a really fine mist, the wind's going to push that around and you're going to get off target damage. You're going to cause, you know, if it's a big mature shrub, you're not going to kill it, but you're going to create a big brown spot in it, which can be pretty unsightly. But again, adjust your nozzle so you're throwing down really big droplets, and then it's unlikely that that's going to move. And Roundup is really safe in the soil, that if you spray it, even if you spray it heavily, once it hits our heavy clay soil, chemically it's pretty much rendered inert, so it won't move. There are herbicides out there that if you apply too heavily and we get rain, they will move and you will kill off-target plants, but Roundup won't move. And once it hits the clay, it's done.
Okay. So this is a personal question. If you
I don't know if I'm qualified to answer
alley,
that.
If, like, you've got a back alley, okay, that is always full of weeds, okay, me, I can live with it. Marcia drives her crazy. You know, she'll be out there in 94-degree heat pulling weeds out of an alley that nobody's going to see, okay? I love the woman.
She needs a hobby.
Yes.
Take her golfing.
It's pulling weeds. That's what her hobby
That's
is.
Right.
It's pulling weeds.
So, other than Roundup, is there anything else that you can do to, like, an alley area to, like, clean it up?
Roundup is a good non-selective herbicide. It will kill everything that it touches. But again, that is going to require, depending on how much rain we get throughout the spring, summer, and fall, you know, could require an application every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, at the most every 4 weeks. There is soil sterilants out there that will eradicate anything that's there and have a residual that will keep it from coming back. But those are, some of those are the types of products that I've mentioned that can go off target.
Bleed and
That if you apply it, and we get a significant rainfall, and it washes into the neighbor's yard or into a low spot, you know, next to your neighbor's, you're going to have concerns or issues. And then again, there is residual with that, and so it might be, if you do it in June or July, heck, you might not be able to seed that till September to get it to start to come back. So I don't keep up with the chemistry on soil sterilants. It is probably like I should, but there are definitely products out there that are long lasting or nearly summer long lasting. But you just want to be careful how you mix, how you apply, check the weather, and make sure as long as you apply it and we don't get a significant rainstorm, it's going to be perfectly fine. But you know, I've seen a lot of people that do their gravel parking lots and driveways and stuff and either aren't reading the label or they're over-applying, misapplying, and then they'll have these huge, you know, dead spots along their driveway or in their yard where it's pretty obvious to me they applied it. We got rain. It pushed it all and puddled into one specific spot, and then that spot is toast for a period of time. So
now, in there, something that I keep reading a lot about, I think there's Epsom salt and something else, but that's like a homemade sterilant, right?
Well, there's you know, more organic, and I don't remember the mixture off the top of my head, but yes, Epsom salts and vinegar and
kerosene.
Kerosene will do the same thing.
Possibly Dawn dish soap.
That's combinations of two or three of them that I've seen.
That's a combination that will definitely give you control, but again, it is something that is going to be a lot more frequently applied, or you have to apply it a lot more consistently. Otherwise,
there was one of them that I thought, well, that looks pretty good. I might try that. So I started doing a little research, and it will not allow anything to grow. It'll kill everything and make the soil ungrowable for a number of years. So if you don't want to do that in your landscape, I don't think, but maybe in an
alleyway
or something like that,
the driveway
that might not where it's not going to get running off into your yard.
Idea.
But yeah, but I don't know. But I think people need to be careful. They think they can substitute that for Roundup. Roundup will kill what it touches, but it won't kill the growability of the ground, is what I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Roundup has really gotten a lot of black eyes recently.
Yeah.
From my research that I've done and from some of the classes and the things that I set in on and continuing education stuff, I wholeheartedly don't agree at all with, a couple of those multi-million dollar settlements, because knowing a little bit of the chemistry that goes into that, I just don't. Roundup's if you take care of, if you mix it properly and you read and follow the label directions and you mix it properly and you do what you're supposed to do, I have no concerns at all.
And don't do it on a windy day, because it can blow back on you.
Yeah,
probably when you're talking about residential application, if like you're commercial and you're mixing, hundreds of gallons of that, and that's your job, that exposure might have more of an effect.
Certainly could have more of an effect, but the label is the label is the law on any pesticide. Yeah. And if you're doing your proper, wearing the proper clothes, doing your proper protection, whether you handle it every day or once a year, you should be perfectly fine.
True.
And if you're following the label directions, again, you should be perfectly fine. My argument would be, if whoever won that settlement, there's no way they were doing.
Yeah.
You get lazy, you get, I'm not going to put the goggles, the glasses on because it's hot. I'm not going to put the coat on because it's hot. I'm not going to put the boots on because it's hot.
Yeah.
And if you get some, dermal exposure, skin exposure, it could be an issue, but I guess we're kind of off topic.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk about lawns, okay? And what to look for, what this is a good time of year to do, and that type of thing. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Now's the time to get a great deal on select Kubota subcompact and compact tractors. Our reliable number one selling tractors are designed for easy operation and feature all the performance matched attachments needed to tackle any job. Right now, get zero down and 0% APR for 60 months, plus save up to $1,000. Now through March 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. Be sure to tune in to Fort Recovery Radio every Saturday morning at 7:15 a.m. for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. He'll give us some expert advice and timely tips on what we need to do to keep our lawns and gardens healthy.
You can email in questions for future shows at steve@naturesgreennursery.com. Be sure to tune in every Saturday morning for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone, 7:15 a.m. on Fort Recovery Radio.
We're back inside. Just following up on the Walk Through the Garden commercial, every Saturday morning, you can listen to Steve and Neil kind of talk about this type of stuff.
Yep.
What time is that show?
7:15 a.m.
7:15.
Then it's in,
it's worth getting up for.
Yeah.
It is worth getting up for, and it is in the archives.
It's always in the archives, sure. Yes.
Yes. So, Steve, we were talking about, like, weeds and stuff. You know, I think this is the time of year when everybody looks at their yards and they're so happy to see that nice green grass, and it's a pain in the ass to mow the first time. But so what should people be doing now so that they can maintain that same yard through the heat of the summer?
The best thing to do, if you haven't done anything in a while, I always recommend, you know, getting a soil test. They're easy to do, not expensive at all. You can get it done at usually any of the local, you know, mills, farm places. You can also go to New Bremen. There's a place in New Bremen, and the name just escaped me. I go over there all the time and get soil tests, Brookside Lab. And just gives you a lot of good information. If you're buying stuff for your lawn, doing it yourself kind of a thing, it's nice to kind of know what you're starting with. That's going to tell you what is in the soil. It's going to tell you fertility now, what's exactly in there. It's also going to tell you pH. It's going to tell you a lot of different things. And that can actually help you purchase a fertilizer that's going to be more suited for what you're trying to accomplish. So there's can't say enough about, I think soil tests are through Brookside, or, you know, $20, I think, yeah, something like that. They're not expensive. Gives you a lot of tremendous information. You can do that for your perennial garden, your vegetable garden, lawn, anything. It might be, if you get the information emailed to you, there might be a lot of things on there that you're not going to be able to understand. It's not, I mean, and it's something I'm happy to look at and give you some direction on, as far as the main things are going to be fertility and pH. That tells you a lot, and organic matter. So that's going to tell you an awful lot.
And then that'll tell you whether you add more potassium or nitrogen, or
exactly
what that mix of your fertilizer.
Exactly. There's, you know, again, this could be a whole other topic too. It tells you exactly your macro elements, which is going to be nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Also tells you your micro elements, which is going to be molybdenum and manganese and iron and calcium and all these different things. And then soil pH, it tells you your soil pH. That's very important too. But we've actually, because phosphorus has become such a bad word in our area, specifically being, yeah, close to Grand Lake, that everybody, you know, the manufacturers, everybody's doing, you know, phosphorus-free fertilizers, and you can't keep a lawn looking nice without phosphorus. Yeah. And so I've actually had a couple of occasions where, you know, people have called, hey, my lawn looks terrible, and I fertilize all the time and it still looks terrible. And so it's kind of, you know, if I'm not super swamped and overwhelmed, it's actually kind of fun to try to decipher some of those riddles. What'd you apply? When'd you apply it? How much did you apply? Let me see the bag, you know, and you can, I can figure a lot of that stuff out. But what I found on actually two different cases was they're just constantly applying a no phosphorus fertilizer. And again, when you're dealing with an agricultural application and you're using a lot of chicken manure, there's a lot of phosphorus in chicken manure. So your fields can actually get to the point where there's, I don't want to say too much, but there's so much that it's just over the top. And that's when you get leaching that goes into the groundwater because there's just simply too much. But with a home lawn, you can actually get to the point, and I've noticed it already, where if you're consistently never, ever, ever applying it, that it actually becomes nearly non-existent in the soil, and you can't germinate grass without phosphorus in a turf or a soil profile in your lawn that doesn't have any phosphorus in it at all, or very, very, very small amounts, your lawn's going to look terrible. I don't care how much nitrogen you put on it.
Yeah.
This is going to look terrible. So, you know, you got to kind of look at all of those instances. And, you know, again, doing a 12,000 square foot lawn, if you're, again, applying at the right rate and you're applying the right products, you're not going to contaminate groundwater. You're not going to, you know, if you get it on the sidewalks and driveways, take a leaf blower, blow it into the landscape beds, blow it into the grass. If you spill or get some overspray or your particles are out in the street, you know, take a broom and a dustpan and sweep that up, yeah. Throw it in the yard so it doesn't get into the storm sewers. It's, you know, it's stuff that we just do all the time. It's just part of it.
Yeah.
But you're not going to, you know, I get a little irritated when I hear, oh, the lake water's horrible because of all these people that take, you know, immaculate care of their yard. And it's like, well, I don't
not
think
necessarily.
That's exactly, if you're doing it right, there's no way, because a thick, healthy lawn is going to filter groundwater perfectly, wonderfully, if you know have anything that's going to try to get through the lawn to get into the groundwater, the roots of the grass are going to take it up, whether it's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, they're going to take it up. So that actually is, I don't know what you want to call it, a buffer,
yeah,
for protecting, especially, you know, ground or surface water like creeks, ponds, Grand Lake, whatever. If you have a thick, healthy lawn and you're applying the right products at the right rates and you're not, you know, throwing it into the lake, it's not going to have a negative effect on the lake. The turf grass is a pig, and it's going to take as much as you're giving it if you're applying it at the right rate.
So is it too late right now to treat your lawn for, like, you dandelions and those?
Oh, no, it's not. It's not late at all. What you need to be concerned with right now is you need to get your pre-emergent crabgrass control down. Crabgrass is an annual grassy weed, and foxtail, those are all annual grassy weeds. And when you have, we had kind of a hot, dry summer last year through July and August, and I saw a lot of breakthrough. The product didn't last as long as it should have. And then a couple years prior to that was a year that it rained, started in like April, and it quit like around, yeah, the middle of July. Again, the product you're putting down isn't going to be as effective because of the ridiculous amount of rain we had. Also, when it's super hot and dry, you're going to get breakdown, and you're going to see crabgrass even if you treated for it. And I'd have people, you know, in the fall, oh my God, look at all this, you know, I got to treat for this. Can you treat for this? It looks terrible. And it's like, it's an annual grassy weed, and the, yeah, first time it frosts, it's going to die.
Yep.
So there is no reason to treat. Oh, it looks terrible. It's like, well, after the first frost, it's going to be dead.
Yep.
But each blade or each plant is going to produce tens of thousands of seed, and that's not going to germinate until now.
Yeah.
So you put your pre-emergent on this time of year before the soil temperatures get up to 56 to 58 degrees, and you're going to inhibit that seed from germinating. It's not going to grow. So that's what you want to do right now, is you want to get that pre-emergent down, and then almost all your pre-emergents will come with some kind of a balanced fertilizer that's encapsulated. So you're fertilizing and you're, you know, getting that pre-emergent down. We have had, so that's the first thing you want to do, and that's usually kind of when it's cold.
Nope.
So that's like a March application, or they say, and again, I told Neil, Mother Nature doesn't pay any attention to calendars.
Yeah.
It's soil temperature. So they say by April 15th, you should have your pre-emergent down. It's kind of an arbitrary date. You know, it could be before that.
Yeah.
If we have more days like we had yesterday and today, I mean, we're pushing 80 degrees. Soil,
yeah,
temperatures are going to rise in a big hurry. But then you look at next week, and it's a little bit more seasonal, so it's going to be cooler. Point is, you got plenty of time to get your pre-emergent down,
yeah,
but you can't apply, again, like we talked about the preen in your landscape bed, same principle. You can't come in and apply your pre-emergent in the first week of May after all that crabgrass has germinated and get any kind of control.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to switch to a post-emergent type of a herbicide, which they're out there. You just can't apply your pre-emergent and think it's going to control anything. Yeah. What I was getting at was we have had so many warm days all of a sudden that the weeds, especially like dandelions, are just like exploding, and they're just blooming everywhere. You know, it's, I don't want to say it's early, it's pretty early to see that, you know, to see that many. Yeah. I was out on a bunch of appointments today and actually saw a lot of dandelions blooming, which, you know, I think's a little earlier than what would probably be typical. So certainly if you want to mix, I would recommend, unless your lawn is just an absolute disaster with broadleaf weeds like dandelions, I would just mix something up and just spot treat. Like I mowed last night and I just had a little spray bottle with me and I just spot treated. I saw some dandelions, I saw a little bit of clover and one or two thistles, and I just had a squirt bottle and I just squirted them with a squirt bottle of 2,4-D. I'm not doing a blanket application. Yeah. Because it's really too early to do a blanket application. You can do a complete application now. You're kind of overlapping with your pre-emergence. You're kind of trying, you're cramming too many things together, in my opinion. If you can wait until middle to the end of May and you do your blanket broadleaf application, you're going to kill a heck of a lot more weeds. Because if you kill a few dandelions now, well, like we talked about, there's still seeds that are going to germinate. There's still weeds that are going to come. So if you treat this early, you know, by the middle of June, you're going to see weeds everywhere. So you got to kind of pick your battles. And I would just spot treat if you see a couple of them that are kind of obnoxious and getting on your nerves, knock those out and then delay that blanket application until later in the season. I don't say later in the season, later in the spring.
So I tell you what, we're going to take another break and we're going to come back and talk about like shrubs, mulch, what to do with that part of things. So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Spring is coming and the temperature is rising, so head to Wayne Street Market and grab some steaks and get grilling. Ribeyes are only $7.99 a pound, New York strips are $6.99 a pound, and T-bones are just $5.99 a pound. Ground chuck is $3.39 a pound, bulk four patties, all no limit. And don't forget the wood chips for smoking and the charcoal. And while you're there, get the rest of your party supplies, chips, meat and cheese trays, beer and wine, and you'll be ready for that night by the fire ring with your friends. Get up to Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
Wow. The 2021 Win on Wabash is excited to present to you our newest raffle, the Friday Night Tow and Go. This progressive raffle will have up to 13 winners and give away up to $270,000 in cash and prizes, including a golf cart, jet ski, ATVs, dirt bikes, a camper, a Harley-Davidson Road King, and a Chevy Silverado. The number of tickets sold will determine the total number of prizes to be given away. Tickets sell exclusively through our website, wowraffle.com, for $25 per ticket or $5 for $100. The winners will be drawn at the 2021 Win on Wabash on August 27th, 2021, and winners will be able to interact in this game show-style giveaway. All details can be found on our website, wowraffle.com, or on our Facebook page, Wow Super Raffle. Tickets are available January 1st through May 1st, or until sold out. So be sure to get in on your chance to win some great prizes in the Friday Night Tow and Go Raffle, part of the 2021 Win on Wabash Super Raffle event.
Wow.
Insight. Jack Stogler and Steve Stone from Nature's Green talking all things...
All things green.
Green, yes. So we... You touched on grass, and I know that we could have spent another half hour just talking about lawns, you know. But my wife's after me to, like, mulch again this year. Okay? So from a taking care of your, you know, shrubs, flowering bushes, those types of things, and the mulch, what do you do at this time of year?
Well, we're trying to figure out a process where we can take our mulch and press it into OSB.
And, there you go.
And sell it for $43 a sheet.
Yes. Which it used to be $8, I think.
Which last summer it was $8. The last I heard this week, it's up to 43 something a sheet. Yeah, it's crazy. Mulching, you know, this time of year, again, we were talking at the top of the show about pre-emergent.
Yep.
If you're going to put your pre-emergent down, put your pre-emergent down and then put your mulch on. Don't put your pre-emergent on top of your mulch. It's not going to react as well. It's not going to work as well. You got a lot of organic matter, which is your mulch, and it's got to kind of work its way through that to get to the soil. So if you're going to mulch, put your pre-emergent down, your snapshot, your preen, all that stuff, sprinkle that onto the soil surface, then put your mulch on. It actually works a heck of a lot better to do that. Mulching at the right thickness, again, you know, read your label directions. You know, don't with applying herbicides and putting on mulch. People sometimes think, well, if a little bit's good, a lot's going to be a lot better. And that absolutely is not the case with herbicides or mulch.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, you want your mulch around 2 to at the very, very most 3 inches thick.
Do you have to get rid of what mulch is already there? Or do you count that in your thickness?
You don't have to, but you have to count that into your thickness. And also, there's different... I mean, mulch is obviously an organic matter, and it's going to decompose, and it should decompose. And there's little microorganisms that causes it to decompose, and it creates organic matter for your soil. But you can also get different types of, you know, sometimes fungus that wants to grow in the mulch. There's an artillery fungus. There's slime mold. There's all kinds of different things. And there is a type of fungus that kind of grows, and it kind of knits the mulch together, and if you try to rake it or shovel it or whatever, it comes up in great big sheets.
Yep.
If you have that, get rid of that, because it's not necessarily that disease or fungus is going to kill the plants, but it actually knits that mulch together, and it actually almost becomes like a piece of plastic that when moisture hits it, it becomes hydrophobic and it sheds that moisture. And so you want to, if you don't remove it, at least stir it up and break that up. And then, again, yes, take into consideration, you don't have to remove the existing mulch, but keep that in your equation. If there's already an inch there, then don't put any more down than maybe 2 inches on top of that. Because, again, over the summer, what happens is if it gets way too thick, the mulch kind of gets packed down over the summer, and then it actually will sheet water like the hood of your freshly waxed car. Instead of it soaking in, it actually will shed water. So that's why, again, thickness is important. And then kind of stirring your mulch once or twice during the summer breaks those layers up and lets, you know, the moisture. It will hold moisture, and you want it to hold moisture, but you want the ground to breathe, too. So if it's really wet, you need it to evaporate. If it's really dry, and you want that moisture to percolate through the mulch and then stay in the soil and then have the mulch there to kind of hold it, so the moisture in the ground, so the sun doesn't evaporate it immediately.
Very good.
So there's a lot to that. And then again, especially with all trees, but specifically young trees, you don't want to, in the industry, they call it volcano mulch. You don't want to mulch it and have the mulch come up real high on the trunks of the trees, because two things happen. One, again, it becomes hydrophobic, and when that rain hits it, it just sheds it away immediately. Also, that mulch, when it does get damp or wet up against, especially young trees that have a very, very thin bark, again, you can create disease issues that actually will penetrate the trunk and can cause the right underneath the we talked again about the rabbits peeling the bark off of the burning bushes, the vascular system of plants is immediately underneath that thin layer of bark. So if the rabbits gnaw that off, again, you're basically, you know, you're exposing, strangling it. You're strangling it. It has no way to get nutrients and water from its roots up because the vascular system that's there is gone.
So is it best to somewhat keep the mulch away from the
keep them on, the on specifically on trees, keep the mulch away from the trunk an inch. I mean, not much, but you just don't want to pile mulch up around all those trees because you know, again, it just could create a lot of problems, you know, long term. And even big mature trees, again, that have the big heavy chunky bark at the bottom, if you mound mulch consistently year after year after year after year, it can cause that bark to become soft, and it can start to peel, and again, it's immediately going to get into the vascular system of the tree. It's going to compromise the vascular system of the tree, and then the tree's going to start to struggle.
So from a from a shrub, bush, flowering plant type thing, what's popular right now, and is there anything like new that you're going to see a lot of?
There's a lot of time or effort, money spent on hybridizing and different varieties of hydrangeas. Hydrangeas has really became really popular, I guess, over the last maybe 5 to 7 years. Lots of effort going into producing, you know, plants that don't get huge. Hydrangeas are historically notorious for having pH issues, which they don't necessarily like alkaline soil, or again, and you can change the flower color. It's very sensitive. Hydrangeas typically are pretty sensitive to pH, and if you have a really high pH like we do around here with heavy clay soils, you're going to have more white, creamy white, greenish color flowers.
Gray. I mean, I have ugly hydrangeas.
And if you have a lower pH, you tend to have pinks, and then you have lavenders, and then you would have really acidic soil, you can even get real, almost like a bright blue color. So they are, I don't want to say they're fussy, but they do, their blooms react to pH. The new varieties that are coming out are very hardy. They're very, they're not susceptible at all. And I don't want to say they're not susceptible at all. They tolerate pH better. So you're going to usually pretty consistently get flowers. Again, they're going to always be in the whites, off whites, creamy, you know, creamy white, ivory to, like a lime green. And then with, the Quick Fire is a neat variety. The Quick Fires are going to start out kind of a pink, faint pink, and they actually will end up being really kind of a rich mauve color.
So, like, what do I have to do to my soil to improve the color of my hydrangeas?
I would say if you have a liquid product, would be something that would, like Muracid is a common over-the-counter name. Muracid is manufactured by, actually Scott's bought the company. It's Scott's bought Miracle-Gro. So it's actually a Miracle-Gro type product. Miracle-Gro is a fertilizer type product, and usually mix it and it ends up, it's just a more balanced fertilizer mixture. Muracid is a balanced fertilizer mixture, but it also, it lowers pH. It's a more acidic mix.
Okay.
And when I say acidic, it's not like you touch it and you fry your hand or something, or it burns holes in your clothes. It's not sulfuric acid, but it lowers pH, and hydrangeas are going to really like pHs in the, you know, 6.5 range. And, you know, we probably have, you know, pH that are more typical of 7.2 to 7.5. Optimum is certainly, when we're growing in the greenhouse, we actually monitor pH, and we like to be around 6.7, 6.8, but we fight a battle too because all of our water's coming out of the limestone aquifers, and so by default that changes our pH and can be very alkaline. So, but the pH, the acidity, is what drives your richness of your color. Hydrangeas are certainly very, very, very popular. There's a lot of things going on with, you know, hybridizing and new plants. There's new variety. Knockout Rose was the big thing for years. There's a new variety that we have that I like a lot better called Oh So Easy. And the Oh So Easies are actually, in my opinion, a little bit better. They don't get as big. And there's more colors. Instead of just kind of red, pink, and yellow, there's more colors available. Those are always, you know, super popular this time of year. One of the things that they're doing now, which, again, we need more time, they're growing crab apples. Everybody loves crab apples because they bloom so beautiful this time of year. And everybody hates crab apples because they sucker from the bottom and they have all those suckers coming up. Well, they finally, you know, got to the point where they're actually growing the crab apples on their own rootstock, and so they don't sucker anymore. So there's just a lot of, every year there's something new that's coming out. A lot of hybridizing, a lot of propagation they're doing and getting different things going. So
why do you use such big words?
Big words.
Hyperfrizing and propagation.
I use that every day.
I was listening to him earlier. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
But he does. He does.
Hi, Bob.
Who invited these two in? We were having such a nice conversation.
It was going so well.
It was going great. And then these two guys show up and things just go completely off the rails.
Every year and turns into crap.
You want it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to.
It decomposes. It's organic matter for your soil. It's better for your plants.
Really?
Supposedly. Absolutely. You got the perfect mulch then if it disappears every year, unless the neighbors are stealing it.
Rabbits.
So we were talking about, you know, like...
Before we were rudely interrupted.
Yeah. Well, from a lumber standpoint and a construction standpoint, prices have just gone crazy. From a landscaping standpoint, you talk about how prices weren't as much of an issue as...
Availability's been horrible. Yeah. Somebody needs to explain that to me. I don't get it. Lumber availability is not there, so the prices are going up. Talked to a good friend of mine today. He was talking about steel. He needs steel for his business. He said, yeah, they're telling me 10 weeks. We can't get, I mean, we usually have, I don't know, 50 different varieties of trees, and we have like six. I don't know what happened between the whole COVID thing that availability is so screwed up.
Trees caught the COVID.
It just seemed really strange. And so
we have a couple of big jobs where we're doing like planters and stuff for cities, villages, and stuff. And we're doing this one project. We have, I don't know, like 50 pots we have to plant. And so we needed to increase what we were growing. We needed to increase to accommodate that job. And we called our suppliers, like, okay, we need, you know, 50 more of these, 100 more of these, 20 more of these, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I ain't got them.
And I'm like, no kidding.
What?
Where are they?
Yeah.
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
So, do you think it was because of the economy or the threat of a bad economy a year ago that it made everybody kind of pull back?
It has to be part of it. And then a buddy of mine is a big wholesaler that is up on Lake Erie. And when the economy went in the tank in 08, 09, and 10, they weren't selling the plants out of the fields that they were growing. And so they, you know, there is kind of a shelf life on those that gets to the point where they get so big that they can't physically dig them and sell them and move them. And so they bulldozed acres after acres after acres after acres of trees, and they never replanted them because the economy the next couple years looked horrible. And so now the economy, you know, is even with the COVID, buildings doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And we were busy last summer, and it looks like we're going to be busy this summer. And from my end, there's no supply, or the varieties are minimal. So there's not as much out there. And you know, last year was a really vigorous, good year in the green industry. I think people stayed home and mowed their grass planted flowers, took care of their homes and their landscapes because they, our little dictator here in Ohio said we weren't allowed going anyplace. our little Napoleon there in Columbus. So people stayed home and again,
took care of things at home.
Took care of things at home. I mean, I said I don't own a salon and I don't own a restaurant, and so I've got no room to complain because those people took it in the shorts, and we were busy because people were at home and they were planting flowers, they were planting trees, you know, they wanted to make their place look better. But it again, the demand was there, and I think the supply side was thin, and so it's just kind of, I mean, and that's everything. I mean, we started, you know, Brad Evers and I started a pool business, and we've got a number of pools sold, and our supplier just called us and said, "You're done. Can't get any more." And I'm like, "I've got, you know, 6 quotes out." He goes, "Our manufacturing facility is working 3 shifts, and we literally can't make any more fiberglass shells than what's already spoken for."
That's incredible.
"So you're done." And I'm like,
"I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break. I think we need one, right, Neil? And we're going to come back and do a real quick stump the rocker." Yeah. Bob, what time do you have Kirby coming in? 8:15?
No.
9? So, well, we have time for a stump the rocker.
Yes.
All right. So, we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only 5 1/4. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Fort Recovery baseball team is having an apparel sale. Here's a great opportunity to show your support for the program by getting some items featuring Fort Recovery baseball. Fleece blankets, carry-all totes, stadium seats, jerseys, long and short sleeve t-shirts, hooded sweatshirts, and more, with most clothing items available in women's, men's, and youth sizes and styles. Get your order form from any of the players or at Purple Post. Pick out what you want and return it by Thursday, April 8th. You can send it with your student to the school office or drop it off at the Purple Post. Be sure to show your support for the team this season with your own official Fort Recovery baseball apparel. Again, you can get your order form now from any player or at the Purple Post. Be sure to return it to the school or the Purple Post by Thursday, April 8th. Thanks for supporting our Fort Recovery baseball program.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Mr. Steve Stone from Nature's Green. You can listen to him every Saturday morning at 7:15 on FR Radio as he does his walk through the garden. Is it through the garden or in the garden?
Through. Walk through. Through. We're walking through.
Okay. Walking through. Very good. All right. And I welcome Rocker. Hello, Rocker.
Hello.
Well, hi there, Jack.
Oops, I'm going to turn him on. There we go. Sorry.
No. Hi, Jack.
Well, it's not as good when you can actually hear you. Okay. So we're back to Stump the Rocker.
That's why Marsha is always my favorite stalker.
That doesn't surprise me. Okay. So I've got like six questions that I want you guys to answer. Rocker's never been beat, Steve. Okay.
Tied, maybe.
Okay.
He got beat once when they cheated real bad.
Yeah. All right. So, first question. What year did Princess Diana die?
Do I just blurt it out or have
to? No, you have to write it down.
Yep. Okay. Number two. How many bones are in the human body?
Six. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that.
No, don't say it out loud.
Can I phone a friend? Corey would know this.
Corey would know this really well. What year did Woody Hayes die? Steve. Rocker is hiding his answers. What is missing from the Mona Lisa?
Her hat.
Her cat?
Hat. Her hat. Hat's missing.
Her cat, I guess. Okay. What and where did Darwin study to develop his theory of selective evolution? Where did he study and what did he study? So that's where two different points.
I couldn't try to figure out how to pronounce it.
Well, I don't think Portland, Indiana needs
settle down there. Oh, it's...
He's talking about evolution. Some of them haven't quite evolved yet.
Oh, is that okay? I ain't saying that. We have some of our favorite listeners are
yes,
from Portland.
That's definitely true.
Okay.
Some of my favorite people.
Last question. Name the biggest island in the world. What's the largest?
Is that the one over at Grand Lake?
No. Stay tuned, everybody, for Sports Talk right after this.
It's almost as exciting as this.
It's a big Sports Talk show. It's Masters Week.
Lots of prizes, lots of fun, lots of stuff about Masters.
So, all right. First question. When did Princess Diana die? I'll ask Steve first.
I wrote down 1998.
Rocker?
Just a little too late. 97.
Do you know a date?
Of course he does.
August 29th.
August 31st.
Ooh. Labor Day.
97.
Labor Day.
Point for Rocker. Okay. How many bones are there in a human body?
206.
Steve?
120.
I have 222, just because it seemed they're just three of the same number.
How many did you say, Rocker?
206 is the right answer.
How many did you say?
How do you know that?
Thank God for trivia crack.
Trivia crack. Trivia. You're on crack. Okay, what year did Woody Hayes die?
Now, I'm going to be at a disadvantage here, but I'll let Steve go first, because okay. I'm pretty sure he's got it.
I don't. I said 1990.
I went with 88.
I went with 1980.
Oh, 1994.
I think it was before 1980.
1987.
Ooh, 87. I would have thought
Rocker got it closest.
That's right, the Price is Right.
Yep. Okay. What's missing from Mona Lisa?
Her hat.
Steve?
Arms.
Her arms?
Eyebrows.
Her eyebrows.
Signature.
Mona Lisa has no eyebrows.
Is that a song?
I don't think.
Are we talking about Mona Lisa or Whoopi? Which one?
It's the same difference.
Oh, okay.
All right. Where and what did Darwin study to develop his theory of selective evolution?
I'm saying this was like that presidential debate where all the answers got funneled to the candidate that you wanted to win.
The guy's full of absolutely useless knowledge. He's unbelievable. Steve, do you have an answer to
London.
London?
And mice.
Mice. Very good. Rocker?
Gabagool Islands.
Galapagos.
Yeah. Galapagos Islands.
Turtles. Yep.
Close.
I just have biology in general.
Close to a turtle.
Finches.
Finches?
Yes.
No, not even close. Gory Island, but...
Yeah, the Galapagos Islands. So the score, I think, was something like 6.5 to nothing.
Well, but you didn't ask the last question yet.
What was the last question? What's the biggest island in the world, Rocker?
I'm gonna probably be wrong on this.
No, you won't. You'll be right.
Australia.
I said Australia.
I said Australia.
Greenland.
Green.
That's bigger than Australia?
That's or what it says here.
Maybe they only count Australia as a continent and not an island.
Well, I'm just telling you what my wife wrote down. So, she said Greenland. So... Steve, it's been a pleasure. We covered about a third of the stuff that I wanted to cover.
Well, stop in on Saturday morning at 7:15, and you can ask him questions.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll see you at 7:15.
Hey, fantastic. And
I say no chance in hell.
He can make it.
Yeah. Not on Saturday morning, right?
No dice.
Steve, anything in closing? You talked about your pool business.
Yep.
You also talked about how tough it is to get them right now, but I'm sure it's something you'd like to mention before we sign off.
Yeah, we I'd like to say call us, we'll get you a pool in, but unless we can't. We can do a liner pool, but the opportunity to get any... we can get the fiberglass pools, but they're like 20 weeks out right now.
Yeah.
Brad Evers and I from St. Henry are partners in that business, and he's been a tremendous amount of help, and things have been going really well. We've consistently have done outdoor projects for years, and with, again, just the way... Everything's been going. Pools were about the only thing on the outdoor entertaining area and a spectrum that we didn't do in-house.
Yeah,
we did the patios, the pavilions, the pergolas, the outdoor kitchens, restroom. I mean, everything. And we were always relying on somebody to help us. And so Brad and I talked, and we just thought it was time that we tried to do that in-house. And then that way we can kind of control... better manage the whole project.
Sure.
And so that's what we did. It's been going fabulous so far, and we hope it keeps up.
Fantastic. So, Steve, I tell you what, for more information on this stuff, listen to Walk Through the Garden with Mr. Steve Stone every Saturday morning at 7:15.
And if you have questions, you can email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com. Fantastic. If there's questions you want him to answer on Saturday morning, we'll be glad to.
I'd say ask Rocker.
There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Everybody, get your soil sample done. I think that's step one for the spring. And we will see you next Wednesday. Stay tuned. What's that?
Need a pair of my underwear?
No. Not that kind of soil sample.
No, that's a wrong soil
sample. That's a stool sample.
Oh, okay. And we'll be back next week. Stay tuned. Sports Talk, the big Masters Week with Bubba and Fee.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.